The subject tonight is well and truly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's upon the name of Jesus. Really, when I started to think about the message for this evening, I was loaned a book by Brother Neville, by Josh McDowell. I started to study that and I started to read the various texts that really expand your mind, and I thought, well, goodness me, this should be a message that we should be able to really stretch ourselves on. But yet, you know, as I thought about it a little more, as I just meditated on the subject, as our brother Bernie said, I really felt there was a need for us to have a simple message this evening. And that with that, with the Lord's blessing and with his help, that we might have a simple, straightforward message that might indeed bring somebody to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. You know, we've just sung, there's power in the name of Jesus. I know that in my own life, that I've experienced that changing power. I know that as I look out and I see the majority of those who are here tonight, that they've experienced that changing power, a power that would lead people into lives of sanctification, a power that would lift people up out of the gutters, a power that would bring about absolute equality. Things that are spoken about in our life and in society today, but yet we don't see too much of it. And it's only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that all these things are truly obtained. And our prayer this evening that if that you don't know Christ as your own personal Saviour, that you might, by the end of the message, and to us that know him, that we might have an encouragement from the Word to live lives that would really speak that name of Jesus in our actions, in our day-to-day life together. So I've chosen just a verse or two that we can look at this evening and just a few thoughts that go along with it, and with the Lord's grace that we might come to that conclusion, and true to the night time that we've spent together this evening might be a profitable time that would bless the heart of everyone that's with us this evening. Chapter 16 of the Gospel of Matthew is the subject text for this evening, and I've entitled the message A Positive Identification. A positive identification. I believe it's so important that we keep that fixed in our mind for this evening, because we do want that to be the really crux of the matter, to have a positive identification with what we're going to study this evening. So let's take up our reading from chapter 16 of the Gospel of Matthew. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desiring him, that's Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, it because that we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have bought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the and the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves for the 1,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Let's just read that verse again, where it brings us to the point of the positive identification of the Lord Jesus Christ by one who was living very closely to him. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Do you know, that's a really profound understanding coming from that man. And as we read on here, that it wasn't something that was simply revealed to him by simple feeling, but it was revealed to him by God on high. A positive identification. Do you know, we have a saying amongst us, and perhaps one that we hear very often said in the world, about seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. And do you know, that really upsets us a little bit at times, because when we start to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and about God, oftentimes we get returned back to us, "You know, I really just can't hold with that. You know, seeing is believing." And because of our teaching about faith and understanding and generally like that, that really hurts us. And we say, "Well, do you know, unless you have faith," and we start to talk about all those verses that would bring us to understand that it's the one who would trust in Christ through faith that really brings a person to that point of trusting. Do you know, I'm not so sure that's a proper attitude. Because, you know, when we look into Scripture, we find there very, very many times that there's a continuing establishment of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. There's a continuing establishment of that. And I believe that it's good for us to look at those verses and encourage others who use this expression of seeing is believing to really take up the subject and see whether that they can see the truth for themselves. So when we look at the subject of really an identification of really understanding what we're dealing with, it's nothing that, generally speaking, that we ourselves, even being believers, wouldn't want to see. I mean, after all, you would no more accept a legal document from somebody who was trying to do a business deal with you unless that you saw that he had his signature on it, would you? You would want to see it be completely written out with every point and every aspect of the deal written down there. And after that you see that, you would want to see a person's signature at the bottom. Particularly the person who you're dealing with, that he identifies himself with that deal. So perhaps it isn't such a bad idea that we do come to grips with this fact of personal identification. And even to the point where that if we were dealing with somebody where that person wasn't able to sign their name, that there are legal adjustments whereby that they can put a sign there, a regular sign that identifies them as being the person who identifies themselves with that document that you're dealing in. So it's something that becomes a real identifier and something that binds that person to the deal that you are engaged in at that time. You know, many companies identify themselves by a logo, and before logos become popular, of course, in the commercial industry, that we had a system of coat of seals, and that we would have a special insignia that was drawn up, and that would be formed into a stamp. It would be registered, and unless that stamp was on a document and duly signed by the person who had the authority, once again, they would not identify themselves with the deal, and there would be no deal. Unless that identifier was there, there would be no deal. So I believe that it's not unreasonable to expect that you see something that is associated with God to be identified by God. And I believe it's quite reasonable that the person of the world says, okay, seeing is believing. I believe what the task is that we must show that there has been and is an identifier, and therefore that you can see that, or other people have seen it previously who testified to it, and through a testimony you can yourself accept, or they can accept, that they have seen. And through that, seeing definitely can be associated with believing. So, of course, as we know, that when we look at the general physique of people, we know that God has actually developed man, that he has a personal identifier. How do we know, what does actually identify an individual apart from his looks? Can somebody tell me? Fingerprints, that's right, and it's quite legitimate to say that every person has their own individual identifier, and it's found there in a fingerprint. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, if that you wanted to look at present day technology, you will find that security systems actually use the characteristic of people's hands to say whether that they're allowed into a certain area or not. So once again, we have a personal identifier there. Something that you can say definitely belongs to that person, and when you see that identifier, you know that that person is reality, or you know that person is truly involved. So when we look at this situation, we can say, well, you know, what really identified Jesus Christ as being what that he said that he was? I believe there's many scriptures that would just relate that to us, and once again that we can relate that to others who are searching. I know that when that we read this passage through, that the Lord Jesus Christ started to reveal to his disciples about some of the actions that he had done that starts to identify him as being something special. Remember there that when that he said to beware of the doctrine of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they thought that he was talking about leaven, of course, the leaven in bread. But the Lord Jesus said, no, you know, that's not the case at all. Just because that you haven't brought bread along, that's not going to alter the situation. Don't you remember what happened? There's two occasions where the Lord Jesus used a small amount of bread, and in breaking that, he continued to break it and continued to break it, and he fed many thousands, or fed a multitude, as the scripture says. And that by doing that, the Lord Jesus Christ was identifying himself with being of a supernatural, an above natural capability. Now that in itself doesn't necessarily identify Jesus as being who that he said he was, but nevertheless it's an indicator, because actions do indeed speak louder than words, don't they? I mean, we encourage one another and say that the best testimony that we can have is a living testimony. And the way that we live our lives, and we encourage ourselves to encourage each other to live our lives, it's a means of saying that we are something different, that we are starting to identify ourselves with something that is not seen in the world. And of course, the whole practice of the Christian life is centered upon the life of Christ. That's what Christ came here for. Now, a lot of people have got the wrong idea that the life that Christ led was simply an example to us, and that if we live our lives using Christ as an example, that will win us favour with God. No, it doesn't. The scripture is very clear that what wins us favour with God, and we'll deal with that very shortly. But nevertheless, that we mustn't go past the fact that we are to identify ourselves with Christ by living a certain mode of life. And that indeed, of course, is fixed upon the way that Christ led himself. So that by us living a certain style of life, rejecting many of the things that the world offers to us, identifies us with Christ. it becomes a real identifier. So it's important that we come to grips with that situation. When we look at the reading this evening, we find that the response that came from Simon Peter was one that was very definite. What was the response? The response firstly was, well, what some other people are saying. The disciples generally said, well, some really, really do identify you, Lord Jesus, with something that's special. They identify you as being somebody like Jonah. And then he goes on a little bit further and it says, some say that you're like John the Baptist. And others say, well, you're like the prophet Jeremiah. And they were associating him with other good living people or people that were respected. And Jesus said, well, that's fine. I guess I really appreciate that to some degree. But yet, who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? And then we get those profound words that was said by Simon Peter, who said that he was Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's not only profound, but it's very important to understand who that came from. Because there's nobody who knows a person better than those who live close to them. Now, oftentimes we hear accolades about certain people, but you know them so well and you think, oh yes, but gee whiz, that might be the case, but I knew so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. And you know sufficient about their life to know the bad points of it. And this, of course, is always a case with even a husband and wife. Because nobody knows a husband better than his wife. And nobody knows a wife better than her husband because they live very close to them. And in that scenario, I guess that we start to come to truth. And I believe that there is an area where that in Christian living that we can be a real encouragement to each other. Now, I'm not by any means endeavouring to start up a real area of nagging, but nevertheless, it's a good area where the husbands and wives can be a real encouragement to each other because of the way that they live closely to each other, and of course through love that we overlook so many things, covers a multitude of sins, but nevertheless we can, because we live that close to each other, just remind each other that perhaps that we're not quite doing the right thing at times and help each other to keep on the right path. That's not the subject for this evening. But there's none like somebody who's living with a person closely who knows exactly who they are. And if that you read the life of the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see that they lived a very, very, very close life. So it wasn't just somebody who was looking from afar off. It was somebody who lived very close to Christ. The way that he lived his life was so exemplary that Simon said, or he could say nothing else but say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know, that's a really, really blessed thing. How would you like one of your very closest friends, somebody who really knew everything about you, or perhaps not a friend, a close, very close associate, be able to praise you in that vein? It would be a real encouragement to you, wouldn't it? Mostly the closer people get to you, the more critical they get of you. But there in the situation here, we find that Simon was able to say, no, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's, to me, it was really, really something when I started to meditate upon that. And it's interesting to see that in verse 17, that the Lord Jesus Christ turned back to him and said that Simon was truly blessed. And the reason that he was blessed, according to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, was that what was revealed to him was not just revealed to him through the actions of Christ. It wasn't just revealed to him because that he did feed the multitude, and of course that he did, and that was an identifier with these supernatural life, but he said that flesh and blood had not revealed this to him, but there had been a spiritual revelation. And I believe that's important in a person's life as they come to know Christ. I don't know if it was with you this way, if you're saved here tonight, but it certainly was with me. I could really, in no real terms, put into words what drew me to God. I could put in no real terms and in words what drew me to God. It's just that there was a drawing, there was a spiritual activity that influenced my life that brought me to realize I was a sinner before God. See, when Christ revealed himself to me through God, it was a spiritual activity. It wasn't flesh and blood. I didn't see miracles. It was just the Holy Spirit revealing to me that I was a sinner before God and that I needed a Saviour. Now, I didn't even know the Word of God to be able to tell me that. In fact, the night that I was saved was the night that I came to realize the full mystery of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I didn't even realize why Christ died on the cross. It's as simple as that before that I was saved. So it wasn't a gradual progression of education. It was a spiritual revelation to me. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to me. The Spirit of God revealed it to me. And that's important. Because that says to me that when Satan comes to me and says to me, John, you're not saved, I can look back at that date and I can say, you know, that's not true. Because that night, something special happened in my life. And the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And that's something that nobody could take away. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to me, but the Spirit of God revealed that to me. And I pray tonight that if you don't know Christ as Saviour, that you're starting to come to grips with how that you do come to know Him. You don't come to know Him through study, and I'm not saying that study isn't a good thing. I encourage it and I indulge in it as much as I possibly can myself. The knowledge of law brings about your understanding of what sin's all about. And if you don't know what sin's about, if you don't know what sin is, then you don't know that you're lost. And that's important that you do that. But yet it's got to be a spiritual activity that brings you to that. And I pray tonight that if you're not saved, if you haven't committed your life to Christ, that tonight your heart is beating now and realizing that the Spirit of God is speaking to you and revealing to you what flesh and blood can't reveal to you and only God can. And that you need a Saviour, and that Saviour is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So when that we start to look at this identification or identifier, we must realise that it's a spiritual activity and it's just not just an academic ascent. So let's have a look at another verse there in the Gospel of John that uses the same terms that brings us hopefully to the same conclusion if my logic is right. Because as we start up here, we find, and this was a chapter that I used several weeks ago when I spoke before, and it speaks of the revelation that came by John. And he said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So firstly, we get here John's understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ was all about. And his understanding was this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was God. That was John's understanding. He goes through and says it very clearly here. He said, I know He was God because He created all things. And because He created all things, He identifies Himself with that which He creates. And this is what I brought out last time. That's why Christ can claim us, because He was the Creator. He was the one who created. You are a procreation. You are a continuation of what Christ created in the first place. And the spirit of man continues on. Although that's a continuing creation, that Christ has that claim on you because he created you in the first place. And that's important. But as we continue on, it starts to speak about the way that darkness completely captivated the whole world, and that in that darkness came light. And that light was Christ. That's what this chapter's all about. And from that light, man's eyes were open to those who had eyes that would see and those who have ears that would hear. Now that's important that we understand that, because many people just don't want to know. They don't want to see. And you know, there's one thing I've come convinced as I've matured, hopefully, in life, that when a man sets his mind to do something, he will do that. And when he's got his mind fixed on something, there's very little that convinces him something differently. And that's unfortunate at times, because oftentimes man's mind is blinded by Satan, and what he thinks is not true, and it's very difficult to sway him off of it. And that's why it's important that it's not flesh and blood, it's not John Knott that convinces you tonight. It's important that there's a spiritual activity, and that it's not flesh and blood that convinces you, but it's a spiritual activity, and through that, that God reveals to you who Christ is. So let's carry on with a little bit of reading here and see if we can't come to grips with that subject. So in verse 9 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, we continue to read about that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Remember that Christ was a Jew, and he came to the Jews. His whole life story is revolving around the Jews and what happened there in Israel. They rejected him. That's what that verse is all there about. But there comes the following verse is the exciting verse. It's the verse that means you tonight. It means me. And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, if you say to me tonight, well, John, seeing is believing, okay, well, let's have a look. Let's see if we can't see, and through that seeing, believe. Because it carries on and it tells us, and it confirms what we have already presented this evening, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And that's what I'm presenting with you tonight, that Christ was so identified with God that to those who seek him diligently, God will reveal him to you. And it won't be flesh and blood, it will be the Spirit of God that does that. Remember when that John the Baptist was baptizing just before Christ came onto the scene. We had a beautiful picture there of John the Baptist. He was baptizing people. They were asking him who he was. Once again, very similar reactions to the way that some thought of Christ. Some thought that he was Moses. Some thought he was some other. Some thought he was that prophet, because they were waiting for somebody to come. But John said no, he wasn't, that he was here to prepare the way for Christ. And he says, I will baptize you with water, but there'll be somebody who comes after me. If you want a reference for this, it's in Matthew chapter 3. He said, there's one that comes after me who is greater than I am. And he said, I'm not worthy to lace the latches of that man's shoes. And of course he was speaking of Christ. How did John the Baptist know that? It was revealed to him, you see, by the Spirit of God. In fact, if we read the initial story of how the John the Baptist came into the world, or before he did, that the Spirit of God leapt in the womb of his mother when they discussed the subject of Christ. It's a spiritual activity. But after that, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ was identified by John. He said, "Here comes that one that I'm talking about, the one that I'm not worthy of." He pointed him out. Jesus came to him and says, "I want you to baptize me." And John says, "Goodness me, you're the one who should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No." He said, "I've got to fulfill all righteousness, or I've got to fulfill the law." That's what he was saying. And John the Baptist took him into the water. He dipped him under the water. He rose him again. And then a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You want an identifier? Seeing is believing? Well, there we've got a witness. And that's what John's writing here. He says that he's a witness to these things that happened. And they're documented, fully documented, for you to see. But you'll only see him if the Spirit of God leads you to it. Once again, we say, it's the spiritual work. They asked John, was he Elijah? Was he Jeremiah? And he said, no, he wasn't. He was simply there to make straight the way, to prepare the way for Christ, and he indeed done that. So you might return back to me and say, "Look, John, you know, I have felt a bit of spiritual activity in my life at one time, and you know, I really do believe that Jesus Christ did come into the world, and he lived a goodly life, and he done perhaps most of the things that were identified in Scripture about him. But I don't know that I want to commit myself to him." Scripture is very clear. Because you say seeing, if you do say that seeing is believing, also God wants to see something before that he can believe it, if you like, or bring it to being a full fruition. See, you yourself have got to identify yourself with Christ. As you want Christ to have been identified and is identified very clearly in Scripture, that you have got to identify yourself with him so that seeing can be truly believing lived out in your life. Some really say, "Well, look, I don't know if I can do that, therefore I don't know if I truly believe, therefore I'm going to sit in a situation where that I really am not for Christ or I'm not against it. I'm going to keep that middle ground." I think they call it an agnostic, don't they? Do you know, the Scripture is very clear on that. Christ, as he spoke on that subject in Matthew chapter 12, and if you want a verse, say verse 30, Christ made it very clear there that you're either for me or against me. And you might say, "Well, look, you know, I'm not for or against. Therefore, I'm not going to hinder the work of God if God is truth. I'm just going to be neutral." But you know, that verse continues on and says, "You either help me to gather people to me, or you are helping to spread people abroad." See, there is no neutral ground. You're either for Christ or you're against him. You're either working to bring people into the kingdom, or you're helping Satan to keep people out of the kingdom. Scripture is very clear on that. So what do you think of Christ tonight? Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Has God revealed that to you? What would you do with Christ if he was to ask you that question? Because I believe he is tonight. if you don't know Christ as Saviour, he's asking you tonight, who do you say that I am? And if you say, well, I guess I've come to the conclusion you are the Son of the Living God, the Christ, the Son of the Living God, then he says, right, will you identify yourself with me? As I have identified myself to you by the Spirit of God, will you now identify yourself with me? And that's what he's asking. Did you realize that you are a sinner before God? And through that sin, you are separated from me. Christ came into this world that you might place the load of that sin on him, and that you might receive his righteousness and stand before God clean. That's what God is saying to you tonight. And if you receive him on that basis, you have identified yourself with him and you are born again.